We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Thank you, and greetings, friends, ladies and gentlemen. We continue the discussion of the subject, Miracles by the Power of the Holy Spirit. Again, I propose the question, are miracles performed by the power of the Holy Spirit through men today? In previous addresses, I have discussed some of the great miracles performed by men under the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit. I have also exposed some of the false claims of miracles today. Let us continue our consideration of these matters. Please be assured that your speaker is well aware of the fact that many honest and sincere people believe that miracles are being performed today, as in Bible times. Many sincere and devoutly religious people honestly believe that they have been healed of some incurable disease by a special miraculous power of the Holy Spirit through the hands of some human being. Many honest souls have heard some preacher say, "Just lay your hand on the radio and be healed." And they believe that they were healed of some physical disorder by the strange and unique power of laying their hands on the radio. We do not doubt the sincerity of those who honestly believe in the miraculous healing power claimed by some men today. But we are sure that such people are honestly mistaken. We are deeply concerned about the truth of God's Word in the matter, and we're anxious that we shall know the truth and that no one shall be deceived by false and unscriptural claims of men. In former addresses, I have discussed reasons why miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit are not performed by men today as in Bible times. We certainly are aware of the fact that many claims for miracles are made today, but unimpeachable proofs are not in evidence. Many of the claims are obviously false. To illustrate, a few years ago, the fallacy of such claims was revealed on a national TV program. The recorded TV film was quite revealing. A lady who had cancer believed that she could be healed by a TV modern miracle performer. She was flown from her home in Burbank, California, to Cincinnati to attend a healing service which was televised on film to be broadcast later. After the healing service, while on her way home, the lady told relatives in Evansville, Indiana, that she was healed by the miracle performer by the laying on of his hands in prayer. However, the irony and sadness of the episode was the fact that the woman died of cancer the very day the TV film program presented her as being healed of cancer. This honest soul was deceived. Her physician at the Pasadena Tumor Institute listed the cause of death as cancer. Many honest and sincere people have been deceived by the would-be miracle performers. Obviously, such people believe that men have the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit to perform miracles. Not a few, however, have died of the disease of which they were supposed to have been healed. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? Men on earth today do not have the miraculous power to heal. If one could heal the sick, he could also raise the dead, as I pointed out in my previous address. Since many people have died after having been healed of incurable diseases, the miracle performers might have redeemed themselves by raising their believing followers from the dead, thereby really proving their ability to perform miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. I repeat, if a person has the miraculous power to heal the sick, he could also raise the dead. In fact, our Lord commanded that the dead be raised. Hear him as we read again his language in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. As ye go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils." Did you hear it, ladies and gentlemen? And I say, are you listening? The same verse in which our Lord said, "Heal the sick," he commanded, "Raise the dead." Where are the dead the miracle performers have raised? The answer is obvious. Man today can no more raise the dead than he can heal the sick. And he can no more heal the sick than he can raise the dead. When you hear men claim the power of the Holy Spirit to perform miracles, just remember, Jesus commanded, heal the sick, raise the dead. If one can heal the sick, he can raise the dead by the same power. I questioned a minister one time who claimed that he had the power of the Holy Spirit to perform miracles. I inquired if he could raise the dead or if he had ever raised the dead. He replied by saying, I have raised some near about dead. I assure you, beloved, that the very fact that no bona fide case of miraculous healing certified by a recognized medical doctor can be found in the world today is evidence of the fact that miracles have ceased. Incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, Christ and the apostles never received any money for their working of miracles. They had no books to sell, and appointments were not necessary. The inspired Apostle Paul warned us about lying wonders and counterfeits. He warned that the true signs and miraculous works would be counterfeited and used to deceive. Read your Bible very carefully, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Oftentimes, when the false claims of divine healings are questioned, we hear the explanation, "Don't tempt God." My friends, we are not questioning the power of God, but we have the biblical right to question men about these matters. It must be remembered that God did tell us to try or question these witnesses. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, the apostle declared, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now, let us consider some objections to the affirmation that miracles, as done by men in Bible times, have ceased. Your speaker is aware of the fact that someone may object by saying, "But you must have faith to perform miracles or heal the sick," or, "You must have faith to be healed." May I ask, my friends, how much faith did the dead son of the widow have? Read Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Did the dead daughter of Jairus have faith? Read Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. How much faith did the loaves and fishes have? Read the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, verses 35 and 44. Beloved, if we should ask the modern healers of today, "Why do you not heal the sick?" do you know what the usual reply might be? Someone would say, "It's the lack of faith." But I inquire, how much faith did the dead have? You know, the dead actually were raised during the days of miracles. Read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 18 through 25. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. How much faith did the dead man have when he was raised from the dead? I tell you furthermore, oftentimes when you question men about their ability and power to heal the sick and raise the dead, someone will say, "God, you know, is always the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Therefore, God is working through men today as during the time of inspired men during the Bible times." My friends, the Bible does teach that God is the same for all time and eternity, as you read in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. But that does not mean that God does the same thing today that He did yesterday. Neither does He necessarily do the same thing in the same way that He did yesterday. May I ask, will God give manna directly from heaven? He did yesterday. Will He feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He did yesterday. Will God cause the walls of a city to fall down after people march around it for 7 days? He did yesterday. Will Jesus be crucified upon a Roman cross again? He was yesterday. It is obvious, ladies and gentlemen, that the omnipotence of God and the omnipresence of God have always been and always will be God never intended, however, that miracles should continue through all ages any more than he intended that Christ should be crucified again. But someone may object by saying, does not the Bible say, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him? James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Oh yes, beloved. There were miracles during these days. There were miraculous healings during the infancy period of the church. But notice, why elders of the church? Modern healers today claim that any Christian may perform miraculous healings, not just elders. If miraculous healings belong to all Christians, then this text is of no value to the modern healer. The sick could call any Christian and heal him, they say. This text declares, however, call for elders of the church. Why? Obviously, the elders, leaders in the church, were the logical ones upon whom the apostles should lay their hands and confer the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, enabling them to perform miracles. We must keep in mind that elders were the pastors, overseers, and teachers in the New Testament church. In the absence of the written law of Christ at that time, there was need for leaders to have spiritual and supernatural gifts. Yes, the sick might call for the elders of the church. But this text still is of no comfort to the modern healer of today. When the modern healer fails to heal the sick of an incurable disease, they usually declare that it is because of the lack of faith on the part of the sick. But James declares, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. He didn't say, the prayer of the faithful, or prayer of the sick. The faith in this text is on the part of the one who was to pray for the sick. Miracles and healings in Bible times were instantaneous and not accomplished through a long, drawn-out period or exercises, effecting cure or diseases on weekly or monthly or even on the installment plan. How different from the modern healers of this day. A centurion came to the Lord one time on behalf of the servant who was sick, who was grievously tormented, the Bible says. He requested Jesus to speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The Bible records, and his servant was healed in that self-same hour, Matthew 8:13. There was no period of waiting, and it was not an installment plan, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't have to make a trip to see Jesus, stand in a waiting line, or lie on a cot in a healing room, nor wait for the Lord to shout or to beat the disease out of him. Neither did he have to come back for a second touch. Peter's mother-in-law didn't have to sweat out her fever. The Lord healed her instantly, and she arose and ministered unto them, the Bible says in Matthew 8:14 and 15. No prolonged prayer service. No report like, the Lord is healing her. She is much better today, and by tomorrow or next week or next month, she will be healed completely. No, my friends, you do not read that in the Bible. The cripple in Solomon's temple didn't have to wait for some adjustments, or the pulling and the massaging of his legs, or experience some great excitement from the shouting of a crowd. The apostle simply said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It didn't take a month, a week, or hours to get results. The Bible says, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up and stood and walked and entered among them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Acts 3, verses 7 and 8. Can you imagine Peter and John praying for this cripple for weeks, then hearing the crippled man report, I know I'm getting better, for I can feel it in my ankle bones. No, beloved. He was healed completely, and he was healed instantly. No man living can perform such a miracle today. When the blind were healed, it was complete and instant healing, a miracle, No blind man was healed who ever reported, "I can see a little better." Miraculous healing was never half done. The afflicted woman was made whole from that very hour, the Bible says in Matthew 9, verse 22. She didn't get a little better from day to day. The lame man just didn't get better, and his ankle bones got stronger and stronger. He was given, the Bible says, perfect soundness. It was a complete job. Perfect soundness. Made whole. Present before all. In that very moment, that very time,